From the busyness of our lives, we have come to be still in the hush of your quietness. From the noise of our questions, we have come to hear your voice. From the anguish of our hearts, we have come to receive your peace. From the emptiness of our struggles, we have come to be filled. Good morning, and welcome to our service here this morning, whether you are here in the church, joining us on Zoom, or listening to this recording from our website later on, welcome. Our minister Amos is conducting worship at Tayport Parish Church, as he is currently interim moderator there, so our service will be led by me and Francis Robertson. A gentle reminder that if you could please either turn your phone to airplane mode, turn your Wi-Fi off, or if you have no idea how to do either of those things, simply turning it off does exactly the same job. This should allow us to send a clearer broadcast of the service to our Zoomers. Our call to worship this morning is verses 5 to 9 of Psalm 33. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Let us join together singing our first hymn this morning, number 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you for the gifts with which you flood our lives, for the gift of laughter that lightens the darkest day, for the tears we can shed as we share the pain of others, for the smile that offers the stranger a welcome, for the hand of peace that brings hope to our troubled world, for the kiss of love that breathes courage into broken hearts, for the word of forgiveness that unlocks the way to reconciliation, for the arms that offer security and peace to those who are afraid, for the word of faith that points an uncertain world to Christ, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to demonstrate the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, so that eventually the whole of creation might join in the song of praise to your name. Lord, we thank you for your love, which has no beginning and knows no end, that though we cannot see it or prove it, your love, even as we pray, is alive and active in the world you have made. We thank you for the love which not only gave us life, but also, in Christ, gave us new life, new hope, and a new joy. For every moment when we are once more made aware of the irrepressible love and your extravagant mercy. For those who, by their words and deeds, have made Christ and his love real for us. For every opportunity you have given to us to speak of Christ and to name his name. We thank you for those whose kindness, generosity, and faithfulness have opened the door of faith and hope to others. For those whose lives are light in the darkness, stillness in the storm, strength in weakness, joy in despair, and Christ to their neighbor. For those who stand with the fallen, wait with the dying, comfort the grieving, enable the powerless to cope, and are Christ to those whom you send them. Lord, how can we not thank you, praise you, and worship you? For you are our Saviour and our Lord, in whose name we bring our prayer, including the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I do love being tasked with doing the children's talk during the school holidays because there's always so much uncertainty of whether there will be lots of children, some children, or like today, no children at all. But we are all children of God, so please channel your inner child just for the next few minutes. Today I have a very exciting and interesting story I want to share with you about something that Jesus did. But first, sorry, I should have mentioned this was an interactive children's talk. But first, I want you to help me with something. It's going to be part of the story. When I give the signal of me putting my hand up, I want you to make a tremendous noise with your voices, hands, feet. So you can do this on your knees, you can stamp your feet on the floor. And then when I bring my arm down, we're just going to stop straight away. So let's just have a little practice. Okay. Brilliant. So you've got to keep watching for that. I've got to remember now and put my hand up in the story. So what if we could do that with things in our life? What if we could change the weather? Wouldn't it be amazing if you could just give a signal and it went from rain to sun or from snow to rain? Believe it or not, that is exactly what Jesus does in today's Bible lesson that we'll hear later on. Jesus and his disciples were out in a boat and a storm picked up. Now, remember that the disciples were fishermen, so they knew how to handle a boat and to ride out waves. But this was a huge storm with wind and rain and big waves. They started to get worried. They were so afraid that they didn't know what to do and thought they might drown. Through all of this, do you know where Jesus was? He was asleep. Can you believe that? Just snoozing in the boat. Well, the disciples woke him and begged for his help. Jesus got up and told the waves, "Quiet, be still." All of a sudden, it was completely calm. It didn't even have to gradually die down. It was an instant stillness on the water. The disciples were amazed and asked who this man could possibly be that even the wind and the waves would obey him at a simple word. Well, this man was God himself, of course, the author and ruler of wind and waves. Jesus could certainly command the weather, but it seemed pretty remarkable to his followers. You know, this is a fascinating story, and it demonstrates God's amazing power. But it also reminds us of some other important things. Do you ever feel worried or scared? Jesus cares. He is in control, even when it might seem like he's asleep or far away from you. If Jesus can control the weather with just a simple command, we can be confident that he has power over our fears. We can ask him for help, hope, and guidance. When things are rough, remember he is there with us. Trust in him for strength. He will calm the storm in our lives. Let's say a prayer to God to thank him for taking care of us and ask him to help us trust in his power for peace in our lives. Dear God, thank you for being in control in my life, for calming the storms and the difficult times, and restoring peace and harmony. Help me to trust in you for all things, to have faith that you will never abandon me, but will remain by my side in the good times and the bad. In Jesus' name, amen. So because I was doing this first part of the service and we don't have birthday blessings every week, I thought I would just throw it in while I was here. I feel I might know the answer already, but have any of our young people had a birthday in the last week? No. We'll just say a short prayer for the children. Dear God, we thank you for all our children here within our church community, that although they're not here today, we hope that they are celebrating the holidays with family and friends, that you will be with them, guide them, and strengthen them throughout the remainder of the holidays. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So, following the theme of water in that story, our next song is called "I've Got Peace Like a River." Yes, you've guessed it. There are actions to go with it as well, and you're involved. So, hopefully you'll be able to join in. Verse 1 is, "I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul." And you can touch the sole of your foot. That repeats. So that's verse 1, peace and river. Verse 2, "I've got love like an ocean. Love like an ocean. Love like an ocean in my soul." Repeats. Verse 3, it's a good one. "I've got joy like a fountain. Joy like a fountain. Joy like a fountain in my soul." Verse 4 is just a combination of the previous verses. So as long as you remember peace, love, joy, like a river, you'll be grand. Got that? I don't know what you're laughing at. Don't give them any indication what's coming next. So let's all join together in singing junior praise number 120, "I've Got Peace Like a River."
Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is taken from Psalm 107, leading from verses 23 to 31. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waves, waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted.
They reeled and staggered like
drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And our New Testament lesson is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. And thanks to God for these readings from his holy word. Let us now continue our worship by singing our next hymn, hymn 260, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save."
He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus then asked of his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Watching a film about a perilous round-the-world yachtsman battling alone against the great waves of the Southern Ocean was a riveting and memorable experience, albeit from the comfort of my sofa, firmly anchored on terra firma. Confronted by a terrifying sea, bad weather, and painfully slow progress, sailor Donald Crowhurst was also battling with himself and his own instinctive fear. Yes, the film Deep Water truly captures one man's extraordinary fearful journey from both a physical and a psychological perspective when confronted by tumultuous, overpowering seas. Fear, I'm sure you will agree, is a very powerful emotion. We've all dealt with it at some time in our lives. Fear of the unknown, fear of pain, fear of heights, fear of over-lengthy sermons. Was that a prompt from the choir to get on with it then? Yes, fear can either motivate us to act or it can paralyze and inhibit us. It can evoke the flight or fight response mechanism within each one of us, the compelling need to act, to survive. The same mechanism was undoubtedly aroused within the disciples in our passage from Mark's Gospel, read to us by Eleanor. Something had to be done, or surely they would all drown. Firstly, let's reflect and place the unfolding events into context. Jesus had just finished a long day teaching by the Sea of Galilee. He had been teaching about the kingdom of God in parables, illustrative stories woven through with imagery from everyday Jewish farm life, such as the kingdom of God growing and spreading like a sown crop, even nurtured from a tiny mustard seed. But after a long day of such teaching, Jesus had grown tired. And so that evening he instructed his disciples to prepare a boat to cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee as he lay down in the stern. But the calm, serene cruise anticipated doesn't last. Soon a great violent windstorm arose, the type of sudden storm for which the Sea of Galilee has a dreadful reputation. Its geographical position, lying low in the Great Rift Valley, 680 feet below sea level and surrounded by high hills, can, when contrasting air masses meet, induce a violent storm quickly and without any warning. The sea's shallowness, less than 200 feet at its deepest, also gives rise to turbulent, violent waves, causing immediate danger to any unwary craft or reckless sailors. Furthermore, the fishing boats used by the Galilean fishermen at that time had low sides, so that the men could cast and draw in their nets with ease, rendering the craft susceptible to flooding by the encroaching waves. Indeed, Mark tells us that the boat was nearly swamped by the waves of the storm. The disciples were confronted by fear, but not the fear of everyday life. rather the kind that happens when you're confronted with something that is far larger, far stronger than you yourself have the power to control. The terror of a chaotic threat indifferent to their lives. We've all experienced this at some point, even if only as a child, when we witnessed our first thunderstorm and lightning strike, and realized that there were forces in this world that were surely far bigger than us. This was certainly the realization felt by our round-the-world yachtsman, Donald Crowhurst, as he and his flimsy craft struggled to survive the thunderous and tumultuous seas. And this is exactly what the disciples were confronted with, the terror and chaos of a great storm. You can hear Mark echoing the chaotic waters of the primordial creation in Genesis, when the world was dark, wild, and waste. You can also hear the terror in the psalmist's voice in Psalm 107, again read to us this morning by Eleanor, at great stormy waves that mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, causing the courage of mere mortals to be melted away in their calamitous situation. This was the terror of an awful storm. And yet, Jesus is fast asleep in the stern of the boat. Not only is he oblivious to the chaos raging round him and his disciples, but in the face of certain death, he is sleeping soundly. This is most disconcerting and troubling to the disciples. They rouse him from his sleep and ask him exactly what any one of us may well have asked: "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" It's a reasonable question, and Jesus provides an answer, but maybe not in the way they'd expected. Rather than reassuring them that everything will be all right, Jesus instead turns towards the wind and the waves, towards the darkness and the chaos that threaten to engulf them all, and rebukes the wind, just as you would a noisy child or an agitated adult. In reality, much as he would have addressed a demon or other dark demonic forces. In the minds of the ancient Jews, the sea, the dark watery abyss, was thought to be where demons and other evil forces dwelt. A view reinforced by the early navigation charts, which often showed sea serpents and other monsters lurking in the deep. Then, just as with the act of rebuking the wind, Jesus commands the waves, "Quiet, be still." The command "quiet" is used by Jesus earlier in Mark's gospel to silence a demon before casting it out of a man. In Mark 1, verse 25, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And yet here, Jesus is not simply silencing the dark powers, but the very forces of nature themselves. Holy men could drive out the demonic, but no mere mortal could silence the very wind and the sea. That power, that terrible and wonderful power, is something that only God the Creator has. A great calm then comes over the sea. The awful terror of the storm is driven away. The wondrous order of creation is restored. Jesus then turns to his disciples and speaks to them for the first time since he'd fallen asleep. He asks them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, filled with awe. The translation of Mark's Greek literally means that they feared a great fear. The terror of the storm had now been done away with, but a fear of a very different sort has now taken its place. This fear, this reverent awe, is what Rudolf Otto, an eminent early 20th century German theologian, famously called the mysterium tremendum when trying to establish the true holiness of God. Translated as the grand or awe-inspiring mystery, it represents both the fear and the fascination associated with God's overwhelming spiritual presence in both the world and in our lives. And it leads the disciples to ask, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him? Even after all the disciples had seen Jesus do, even after the parables he had taught, even after all the innocent people he had freed from capture, illness, or demonic oppression, the disciples still did not know who stood in their midst. Indeed, they were so amazed at this and what they had witnessed that all they can do is ask, who then is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who indeed is this man? He who commands the very wind and the sea to be silent? Who is this that he inspires a great and mysterious fear, a glorious awe, greater than that of the might of the terrible storm upon the sea? The disciples seem better able to handle the prospect of their own death. Than the reality of God's presence in flesh, standing among them. We may think we escape Jesus' probing question to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And yet that question is the one that this man who even the wind and the waves obey, still puts before us today. Granted, we may never fear imminent death in a seaborne windstorm, but the fallen world we live in thrusts terror and trials before us each and every day. Like the disciples, we can think of Jesus being asleep, detached from us, indifferent to the threats on our lives. Or we are tossed about by the waves of economic and social uncertainty, pandemic, change, suffering, and loss. And we cry out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And yet, like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, we are upheld by the one who rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." For our God is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but is awake to every aspect of our lives, every success, every trial and tribulation, and will respond according to his will through his boundless love and compassion for us, his children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. God sent the storm to teach the disciples a lesson on faith, and he often sends trials and difficulties to teach us lessons. Each one of us has a measure of faith that has been given to us and nurtured by God. He wants us to use it to overcome fear, For surely fear tells us to expect the worst. Faith tells us that God is in control. Life's problems are a call for us to put our faith into action. They reveal areas of our lives in which we need to act in faith and not fear. Jesus can calm the crashing sea, and he can surely calm the daily problems we encounter. He can take the fury out of any situation that we may face. Sometimes we are like the disciples in the story. We are in the midst of the storms of life and we feel that Jesus is asleep or has abandoned us. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is with us in the middle of each and every storm we face. It's like the story of the footprints in the sand. One night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. The real test for us involves holding on to Jesus' presence even when he is still and quiet. So when we're in the midst of the storms of life, be reassured, Jesus is not asleep. He is not indifferent to our situation, for his powerful presence remains with us always. Do not be afraid. Do not let fear overcome you, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, and through your faith, you shall be saved. Trust in the man who even the wind and the waves obey. Amen. Let us pray. God of all creation, who commands all things, remain forever with us. Still our souls in times of trouble. Guide our futures as you have our past. Let not our hopes be diminished, nor our confidence shaken. And may your mysterious presence prevail throughout every moment, every day, every experience of our earthly lives. Amen. Let us join together to sing, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Sun.
let us bring before God our prayers for our offering and our intercessions. You, Lord, are the provider of all good things. Please accept these gifts and use them to your glory. Just as you multiplied the offering of fish and the loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that you would multiply these, our offerings to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Let us pray for our church, the world, our community, and ourselves. There is a prompt in this prayer, Lord, in your mercy, and the response, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear our prayers and listen to the concerns of our hearts as we lay before you our hopes and fears, our joys and sorrows for your church, your world, our community, and ourselves. Father God, we pray for your church throughout the world and all who work so tirelessly to sustain its witness and presence, that they may live in continued unity and strength. We pray for our minister Amos and the added responsibilities placed upon him within our cluster of churches. Support and strengthen him, Lord, and may Presbytery move towards a meaningful and sustainable solution for Christian witness in this geographic corner of North Fife. And as we move towards that solution, Lord, help us all to treat each other and our neighbours with consideration and respect, to celebrate what we have in common, and to peacefully accept, change, and respect and acknowledge our differences. Guide us all in all we do to serve you, Heavenly Father, and build your kingdom here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, help us not to despair of our world's politicians. We pray that our world leaders would have the passion for justice and truth, honesty and transparency. We pray for places where there is conflict, where peace seems so far away and so many have lost everything. We pray for the displaced, languishing in refugee camps, foreigners in a strange land, for families separated, homes destroyed, and dreams shattered. We bring before you, Lord, those suffering through the effects of flooding, droughts, or other natural and man-made disasters. May world leaders recognize the effects of global warming and commit to work together at the COP26 UN summit in Glasgow next month. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for our town and community. Help us always to put you first, our neighbours second, and ourselves last of all. Help us to be submissive to your will for us and to live our lives in witness to your glory as your servants to all in this place, just as our Lord commanded. May we embrace mission and Christian outreach within our cluster and consider new ways of doing church, utilizing technologies and broadcasting your word into the hearts of those as yet unfamiliar with your loving ways and guaranteed protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we pray for all who are suffering from physical, emotional, or mental illness. Help them to see you through their pain and give them courage to face their future, whatever that may bring. We pray for the staff of our National Health Service who have been tested almost to exhaustion in the ensuing pandemic and now face a backlog of casework. Be with all those who await an appointment, a consultation, a diagnosis, surgery, or courses of treatment. In a moment of quiet, please pray for someone you know who is in need of God's healing presence in their life today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, we pray for those who are dying alone, unnoticed, or unloved. May they be aware of your presence. Embrace them in your loving arms and hold them close. We pray for all who are remembering a loved one, no longer with them here on earth. And we pray that they will be filled with your compassion and loving grace. In a moment of quiet, let us remember those dear to us who have entered into the heavenly realm and now rest in your eternal glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time, we pray for the security and safety of our politicians, those who uphold the law of our land, those in government, and faithful God, as we leave this place today, draw us nearer to you, strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you and our neighbours, and open our eyes to the wonder of your creation, that we will be ready, willing, and able to serve you, your church, and our community throughout the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close our service with a hymn that could easily have been penned by the disciples themselves as they reflected on their experience. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear when the breakers roar and the reef is near? While the surges rage and the wild winds blow, shall the angry waves then your bark o'erflow? Our closing hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Oh, Just as we bring our service to a close, I'd like to acknowledge and thank Gary very much for his playing over the last 2 weeks. And I know today he has been fighting against a dicky stop, so I'm sure it didn't impair the quality of his musicianship. Our benediction. Let us fearlessly go out into the world, renewed and refreshed, to share the good news with those we meet, upheld by the one who rebukes the wind and says to the waves, quiet, be still. And may the Lord bless us and keep us. May his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us and give us his peace.